This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. It is a new year, but we face some of the same old issues, and some of those environmental challenges may become worse. Take the issue of clean and healthy air. Environmentalists are deeply concerned about President Trump's executive order dismantling the Clean Power Plan. That plan was put into place back in 2015 and took aim at cutting power plant emissions of CO2. The Clean Power Plan also has a number of ancillary benefits for air quality and human health, but the direction for now is more natural gas drilling, greater searches for other fossil fuels, and attempts to revive the dwindling coal industry. Our guest this morning is Kendra Wide, and Kendra is an intensive care nurse and coalition coordinator for My Air, My Health. Thank you, Kendra, for the time today. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, David. Thank you for having me.
I don't know if you remember, but we had an opportunity to talk last spring, and at that time, the American Lung Association had passed out grades for air quality in Southeast Michigan. Washtenaw, Wayne, Oakland, Lenawee, and Monroe counties all graded out at an F. And when it came to particulate matter, Wayne County had an F there as well, and the rest were only slightly better. Are you now projecting that air quality in Southeast Michigan, based on current policy direction, will get worse rather than better?
Wow, that's a tough question. I think that there's the potential for that to happen, but I also have hope that at a state level we're going to make some efforts to improve air quality, and we already see some of those efforts being made. So I'm hoping that that's going to continue to trend in that way.
And I want to talk about those, but I also want to set kind of a benchmark. Let's talk about the public health repercussions of poor air quality. I already mentioned we're getting a grade as an F, by and large, for Southeast Michigan. It's resulting in Michigan adults and children with asthma, incidence of higher cardiovascular disease, lung cancer rates, and some are even linking it to autism. So when we assess the impacts of poor air quality, is there a starting point where we should really consider ourselves behind the eight ball?
Absolutely. I think you make a really fair point. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of research that has been linking poor health outcomes to poor air quality, and Michigan often ends up in the top 10 on those lists when we compare to the other states in the nation. And with levels of ozone, we're seventh worst with deaths attributable to ozone levels that are higher than what's predicted to be normal levels or what would be healthy levels of ozone particulate matter. We do have poor air quality in Michigan, and so it is going to be important for us to kind of take a look at where we are, where we're starting at, and what we can hopefully do to try and improve and get better.
We're talking air quality and public health on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment. Our guest is Kendra Wide, and Kendra is an intensive care nurse and coalition coordinator for the group My Air, My Health. Now, people tend to get a lot more concerned a lot more quickly when they realize that issues are impacting their financial well-being. Is there a way to even make a determination on the economic burden of the public health issues that result from poor air quality?
That's a good question. We do get some studies and some data that talk about lost impact days, and those are kind of the days when people miss work and miss school. We don't have an actual economic number that we can put on that, but we do have the total number. There was a study done in 2015 by the American Thoracic Society that tried to estimate how much ozone levels above 70 parts per billion, how that impacted health in Michigan, and they took a look at how many deaths were potentially attributable to that and how much serious illness, and the biggest impact was impact days, and those that would be estimated at over 500,000 impact days in which people are not able to carry on with their normal activities. So that certainly has an economic impact. I can't say how that impacts someone's pocketbook individually, but I know that overall that'll impact the productivity of
Michigan. Productivity throughout any given industry or industries as a whole goes down, you would assume that the impact resonates throughout the economic community. And I'm betting that with an aging population, the cost of poor air quality is only going to grow moving forward.
That's one of our most vulnerable groups. We have an aging population. Seniors are impacted the most. Children, people of color, low-income communities. And so seniors are certainly someone that we want to be careful to watch out for. As temperatures rise, they're also a very vulnerable population as well.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. Kendra White of My Air, My Health is with us talking about public health and air quality. And you mentioned that we have to talk about solutions, and some of those solutions are not necessarily coming in the direction of the federal government right now, so it's going to have to start with state level. The function of My Air, My Health is to tie air quality and public health to legislative policy. So what's it going to take in Michigan to even start making a dent in the issues brought forth by air quality standards?
Well, we do a lot of legislator education. We try to meet with legislators and help them understand what we see as medical professionals on the front lines, what kind of things we're seeing in hospitals, patients that are impacted, how their constituents are being impacted by the poor air quality in their districts. But I think we had a huge success last year. The Michigan legislature passed historic bipartisan energy package. It increased our renewable portfolio standards, so that was great. It increased it to 15% by 2021, so that's going to increase the amount of energy that's emissions-free. That's going to improve our air quality. They also maintained their current energy efficiency standard at 1%, and so those things are going to help to improve air quality. That's something we can continue to do at the state level. I certainly think we can do better, and there are some legislators that are already pushing to try and move that bar forward. There's been two more bills that have been introduced, and we can be advocates for those bills and or for education around what those would do to improve public health. They would like to try and increase the renewable portfolio standard up to 50% by 2035, so that would be significant. We certainly lag behind some other states with even better air quality throughout the country, and so I think there's definitely room for us to grow. And I think that the legislation would like to increase the energy efficiency standard and to 2% energy savings by 2022. So these things are, you know, positive. I think that people are understanding the health impacts of poor air quality, and they're understanding how energy production is a determinant of health here in Michigan.
So you have what you would consider the wrong direction at the federal government, some positive progress at the state level in the state of Michigan. How vital is it going to be for local governments to take the lead on air quality?
I think it's going to be extremely vital. I think that this isn't going to be a top-down approach any longer. We have to do grassroots up. And so municipalities throughout the state that are willing, you know, some people control their own energy production. And so it's going to be important for people to speak up and to encourage their local municipalities, their local energy producers to be more renewable and increase energy savings. Remember, the cheapest energy is the energy you don't use. And so we can certainly see pressure and influence from the public at the local level, and that tends to often trickle up into the state level. And so any type of local municipality and local action that pushes towards, like, for example, like different cities throughout Michigan have encouraged initiatives to become 100% renewable by certain year.
Yeah, Ann Arbor, I think, is 2035, right?
Yeah, so that's encouraging, and we hope to see more and more of that type of activity, and people push their municipalities to make these changes, and that's good to see.
Well, our time together is winding down, but I do want to ask one more question. Even under the best of circumstances, Kendra, we're talking about generations before we have something resembling clean air if we continue to move in a positive direction. So for now, is there something we can do as individuals to better protect ourselves from the potential ramifications of poor air quality?
You asked me that question last time that we talked, and unfortunately there isn't much that we can do. We can, if you kind of fall within that population, as far as you're a sensitive group, as in you have chronic heart or respiratory conditions, or you're an asthma sufferer, or you're more susceptible to heat, we can just pay attention to health alerts and weather alerts and be extra careful on these days and take care not to overexert ourselves. As far as what we can do just as citizens, we can do our best to try and decrease our emissions, increase energy efficiency within our homes, try to rely less on the combustion of fossil fuels, because that's what's really driving climate change. That's driving, that's going to worsen our air quality in the state. It's going to trigger more asthma attacks and respiratory disease. It's already, we're seeing it contribute to more intense droughts. Wildfire is in the news right now in California. And so we can, as citizens, try and be more conscious about our fossil fuel consumption.
Kendra Wide, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, David. I appreciate your time, too.
That is Kendra Wide, Coalition Coordinator for My Air, My Health. I'm David Fair, and you have been listening to Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. It's heard every Wednesday on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.